There is a specific kind of weight that comes with an old, rusted tool. It is different from the balanced heft it had when it was new. When you pick up a cast iron pipe wrench or a set of pliers that has been sitting in a damp shed for a decade, it feels gritty and stubborn in your hand. It does not move the way it was designed to move. It feels like the tool has given up on itself. But I have always believed that steel has a memory. Beneath that flaky orange skin of oxidation, there is still a fine edge or a perfect mesh of gears waiting to be brought back to the light. We are going to spend some time today talking about how we peel back those years of neglect and bring those tools back to a state where they can work for you again. You might be thinking that it is easier to just head down to the hardware store and buy a new version of whatever is sitting on your workbench. In some cases, for a cheap screwdriver or a plastic-handled hammer, you might be right. But the tools our grandfathers used were made with a quality of steel that you just do not find in the bargain bins anymore. There is a soul in a tool that has already seen 50 years of work. When we restore one of these, we are not just cleaning a piece of metal. We are honoring the craftsmanship that went into making it and ensuring it lasts for another 50 years. Before we even touch a wire brush or a bottle of solvent, we have to understand what we are actually looking at. Rust is not just dirt sitting on top of the metal. It is a chemical transformation where the iron is literally bonding with oxygen to become something else. It is a slow-motion fire that eats away at the integrity of the steel. When you look at your tool, I want you to run your thumb over the surface. If the rust is just a light dusting that leaves a reddish stain on your skin, but the metal underneath feels smooth, we are in good shape. If the rust is flaking off in thick scales, and you can see deep pits or craters in the body of the tool, that tells us the damage has gone deeper. We can still save it, but the finished product might bear the scars of its history. I learned the hard way that you cannot rush this process by sheer force alone. I remember finding an old, adjustable crescent wrench in the dirt behind a barn when I was much younger. The thumb wheel would not budge a millimeter. I was impatient and decided I would just force it open with a hammer and a punch. I figured if I hit it hard enough, I could break the rust loose and get it moving. All I ended up doing was snapping the adjustment pin right off and shearing the teeth inside the jaw. I killed a tool that had survived 30 years in the rain because I didn't give the chemistry time to work. That taught me that restoration is about patience and choosing the right path for the specific kind of metal you are holding. We start our preparation by clearing a space where we can get a little messy. This is not a project for the kitchen table. You want a sturdy workbench or a flat spot in the garage where a little oil or vinegar spill won't cause a disaster. We are going to need a few basic supplies that you likely already have. I prefer to start with the gentlest method possible before moving to the aggressive stuff. This means we want a container large enough to fully submerge the tool. A gallon of plain white vinegar, some fine-grade steel wool, and a stiff wire brush. I also like to keep a box of baking soda nearby because it acts as a neutralizer later on. Safety in this process is mostly about protecting your eyes and your lungs. When we start brushing away that loose rust, those tiny orange particles become airborne. You do not want to be breathing in oxidized iron, and you certainly do not want a shard of steel wool flying into your eye. I always put on a simple dust mask and a pair of clear safety glasses before I start the mechanical cleaning. It is a small step that keeps the job enjoyable rather than painful. Once you have your workspace ready, the first real step is a preliminary cleaning. We want to get the grease, the cobwebs, and the loose dirt off so the rust removal agents can get straight to the metal. I take a rag dampened with a bit of degreaser or even just warm soapy water and give the tool a good wipe down. If there is heavy, caked on mud in the crevices, I use a small screwdriver or a pick to gently scrape it out. We are not looking for perfection here, just a clear path for the next phase. If the tool is small enough, I place it into my plastic container and pour in enough white vinegar to cover it completely. The acetic acid in the vinegar is mild, but it is incredibly effective at breaking the bond between the rust and the good steel. You will notice almost immediately that tiny bubbles start to form on the surface of the tool. That is the sound of the chemistry happening. It is a soft, fizzing sound that tells you the acid is eating away the oxidation. I usually let a tool sit in that bath for at least 12 hours, but for something truly crusty, 24 hours is better. You will see the liquid turn a murky dark brown or even black. That is a good sign. When you pull the tool out of the vinegar, the rust should look like a dark, soft paste. This is the moment of truth. I take my wire brush and start scrubbing under a bit of running water. You will see the gray, dull shine of the original steel start to peek through the black sludge. It is a very satisfying feeling to see the actual shape of the tool emerge from the mess. If the tool has moving parts, like those pliers or the adjustable wrench I mentioned earlier, this is the point where we see if they want to cooperate. I gently work the handles or the thumb wheel. You might feel a gritty resistance at first. Do not force it. If it stays stuck, it goes back into the vinegar bath for another night. If it starts to move, keep working it back and forth while rinsing it. Each movement flushes out more of that dissolved rust from the internal joints. Once the tool is as clean as the vinegar can get it, we have to stop the acid from continuing to work. I take a bucket of clean water and stir in a few heavy shakes of baking soda. I dunk the tool in there and let it sit for a minute or two. This neutralizes the vinegar. If you skip this, the acid will stay in the microscopic pores of the metal and cause what we call flash rust, which is a thin layer of orange that appears almost the second the tool dries. After the neutralizing bath, drying is the most critical step. Water is the enemy of steel. I use a clean rag to wipe off the bulk of the moisture, but then I take it a step further. I often use a hairdryer or a heat gun on a low setting to warm the metal up. You can feel the steel getting warm in your hand, and you will see the last bits of moisture evaporate out of the joints and the stamped lettering on the handle. Getting the metal bone dry is the only way to ensure the rust does not come back tomorrow. Now the tool looks gray and clean, but it also looks a bit thirsty. Raw steel is very reactive to the air. To protect our work, we need to seal it. For a tool I plan to use every day, I like to use a light machine oil or even a bit of paste wax. I apply a small amount to a rag and rub it into every surface of the metal. You will see the color deepen from a chalky gray to a rich, dark slate. It starts to look like a professional instrument again. If there are wooden handles, I take a little bit of boiled linseed oil and rub it into the grain until the wood feels warm and supple, rather than dry and brittle. As you hold the finished tool, you will notice the difference in how it behaves. The handles should swing freely without that grinding sound. The surface should feel smooth to the touch, and the weight should feel balanced again. You might see some pitting, small pinpricks in the surface where the rust had eaten deep, but those are just marks of character. They do not affect how the tool works. There is a deep sense of accomplishment in taking something that someone else threw away and making it useful again. It teaches you to look at things not for what they are in a moment of neglect, but for what they can be with a little bit of time and effort. The next time you are at a garage sale or digging through an old box in the basement, keep an eye out for that dull orange glow of rust. Now you know that it is not the end of the story for that tool. It is just a layer of dust that needs a mentor to help it find its edge again.